Welcome to Ask JTF, the program on which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. This is the Jewish Task Force. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach. Anyone who wants to ask questions can do so by going to our forum, registering on our forum, which takes just a few minutes, and then you go to the general discussion section, and there's a sticky thread in the general discussion section where you can ask questions. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mittman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Se Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mittman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. Let's start off with our questions from our great JTFers. And the first question is from Hirvatsky Noachid, a great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "I love linguistics and horror literature. My rabbi has a PhD in physics. Do you think religious people should focus more on worldly studies?" Unquote. Well, I think it depends. I think that there are rabbis and religious people who should focus pretty much the overwhelming majority or almost all of their concentration on Torah. I think there are people who should focus on that. But there are other people who can do both and who can multitask, let's put it that way, with their learning. And so there's certainly nothing wrong with someone being a rabbi and a scientist or a rabbi and a doctor. There's nothing wrong with it. And so I think it depends on the individual. But I do think you need some individuals who focus almost entirely on Torah studies. I think there is a need for that as well. Thank you very much, Hirvatsky. And now we're going to Ram 770, who is from Israel, one of the people who follows us in Israel. And Ram 770 writes, and he writes in Hebrew, so I'm going to translate, and we'll translate it as best we can here. And when I say as best we can, because I don't want to bore our English speaking viewers with the Hebrew, so I'm going to try to give quick translation here. Ram writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim Hayakar Mashlomcha," which means, Chaim, how are you? And I'll answer Ram, Baruch Hashem, thank God. And Ram now writes, "Ratziti lishol otcha haim pa'am bikarta beretz Yisrael lifnei shegershu otcha." He's asking if I ever visited Eretz Yisrael before they expelled me. And I'm going to answer him first in Hebrew. Ken Ram, hayiti beretz Yisrael. במשך חודשיים, שנתיים לפני שגרשו אותי, הייתי שם חודשיים. אז התשובה היא כן. And I'm going to translate that. Yes, I was in Israel before they expelled me. I spent 2 months in Israel. I was actually on probation at the time. The judge had put me on probation, but he allowed me to make one visit to Israel for 2 months. And that was 2 years before I got off of probation completely and attempted to make my aliyah. And now Ram writes, and I quote, "Ma kara she'ata oseh pachot sirtonim be'ivrit," which means, what happened that you make fewer videos in Hebrew? And I'm going to answer first in Hebrew. "Ani mitrakez kaet al pirsum. Ani choshev shetzarich kamut yoter gedola shel tzviot lechol sirton. Az ani mitrakez ve'anachnu kitnuam mitrakzim yoter bepirsum hasirtonim shelanu." And what I just told Ram is that we concentrate, why are we making fewer videos? We concentrate more on publicizing the videos that we do make, because we want more views on those videos. Agav Ram, yesh lanu me'al 2 million tzviot בסרטונים שעשינו בעברית. And I just told him we have over 2 million views on the videos that we did in Hebrew. And Ram now asks, and I quote, מה דעתך על החייל בראל השם יקום דמו שנרצח? And what Ram is asking is, what is your opinion about the soldier Bar-El, God should avenge his blood, who was murdered? כמובן שהוא נרצח, ולצערנו הרב אלפי חיילים נרצחו ללא צורך, כי יש לנו צבא ויש לנו ממסד ויש לנו פוליטיקאים ויש לנו שופטים ותשקורת שכולם חושבים על חיי הערבים הנאצים שרוצים להשמיד אותנו יותר מאשר מה שהם חושבים על חיי החיילים שלנו. זאת אומרת, חיי הערבים הנאצים שרוצים להשמיד את עם ישראל יותר יקרים בעיניהם מחיי יהודים, מחיי חיילים, או מחיי יהודים בכלל. And what I just said is that we have an army and a media and judges and politicians who think the lives of Arab Nazis are more precious and more important than the lives of soldiers, and so thousands of soldiers have died unnecessarily. And now Ram asks, and I quote, גם בנט הרשא טוען שהוא לא נרצח, מה לדעתך חייבים לעשות עם המצב במדינה? Unquote. And that means also Bennett, the evil Bennett, says that he wasn't murdered. What do you think should be done as far as the situation in the state? Ram, אתה יודע שאני מאמין ואני משוכנע ובטוח שצריך הנהגה חדשה לגמרי, אבל קודם כל חייב להיות התעוררות בעם. בגלל זה יש לנו תוכנית של סרטונים כדי לעורר את העם. I said to Ram that of course he knows that I believe we need completely new leadership in the country, but first we need an awakening among the people, which is why we have our campaign with our videos. And Ram now writes, וגם אתה חושב שטד קרוז יתמודד ב-2024 לנשיאות ארצות הברית? You also think that Ted Cruz will run for the 2024 for the presidency of the United States? אינני יודע, רם, אני חושב שהסיכויים נגדו, מסתבר שהוא לא יהיה המועמד הרפובליקני. אנחנו רוצים שהוא יהיה, אבל אנחנו חושבים שהסיכויים כן נגדו. אני לא נביא ואני לא בן נביא, אינני יודע אם הוא ינסה בכל זאת לרוץ. And what I just told Ram is, I don't know if Ted Cruz will run for the presidential nomination in 2024. I think the odds are against him. We would want him to be the Republican nominee, but the odds are against him, and whether he'll run or not, we don't know. אני מודה לך, Ram. Thank you, Ram. And now we go to Noah Hyde, another great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, can you give a short shiur on Lashon Hara and Motzi Shem Ra? Unquote. And shiur, by the way, means lesson. Lashon Hara is basically publicizing and spreading something bad about someone, something true. It's true. Lashon Hara is true. But you're saying something bad about somebody, either to humiliate them or hurt them. Or the effect could be that you're humiliating and hurting them. That's Lashon Hara. And Motzi Shem Ra is actually spreading lies. So Lashon Hara is spreading the truth, but it's saying something negative about somebody, which we're not supposed to do except under certain very strict circumstances. And the other is spreading lies. Obviously spreading lies about people, lying and fabricating things about people, which is Motzi Shem Ra, is a terrible, terrible sin in Judaism. Very serious sin. People who do that, it says that they won't have a place in the world to come. That's how serious it is. It's like murdering somebody. It's like shedding someone's blood sometimes when you spread malicious lies and slander against somebody. And we Kahanists certainly know what that's like. We've been victims of slander for many, many years by Jews who don't like people who tell the truth, even if it's an unpopular truth. Lashon Hara, on the other hand, which is telling the truth about somebody, but a negative truth, is also something that is forbidden unless you're doing it under very specific circumstances. For instance, let's say you know somebody who needs to get their car repaired, and you went to a mechanic, an auto mechanic, whom you know is a crook. Now, and the auto mechanic could be your fellow Jew, could be someone that you know in the community, is a fellow Jew, and you know he's a crook. Are you allowed to say something? But you're not supposed to say bad things. You're not supposed to spread negative, even if it's true, you're not supposed to say bad things about people. You're not supposed to spread bad things about people because it humiliates and hurts people, and you're not supposed to hurt and humiliate people. So what do? In a case like that, you are required. You're required to tell the truth. You're required to warn anyone else who would do business with this person that he's a crook. You're not allowed to be silent and allow this person to continue to rip people off or to not properly repair their cars. You would be required to. Or if you know a bad doctor, a bad dentist, or a bad lawyer, or a bad anything, bad businessman, whatever. If you know and it's going to lead to bad consequences for the community, then you're required to engage in Lashon Hara. You're required to tell the truth, even though it's a negative truth. Lashon Hara literally, by the way, means bad language. You're spreading bad language. You're spreading bad words and bad language about somebody. But if it's not for that purpose, if you just want to gossip, or if you just want to say things about somebody that are negative, there's no reason to do that. There's no reason to spread negative things about someone. There's no reason to humiliate or hurt people. Unless there's a very necessary, pressing reason why you have to do it, you should not engage in those things, and Lashon Hara is a very serious sin. Thank you very much, Noah Chaid, and now we go on to Chabad Kahanist, another great JTFer who writes, and I quote, by the way, Chabad Kahanist has over 4,200 posts on our forum. Congratulations, Chabad Kahanist. You're certainly someone who adds tremendously to the quality of our forum. Chabad Kahanist writes, and I quote, "What do you think of Rabbi Mark Angel? I heard that his conversions are pasul. Any thoughts?" Pasul means invalidated, void. Mark Angel, I'm not going to refer to him as Rabbi Mark Angel because I think he's a despicable, self-hating leftist traitor. Mark Angel is an evil person and a fraud and a liar, and I would not trust any of his conversions. He's someone who takes the politically correct stand on every single issue, even though he is a so-called Orthodox rabbi. You know, the first time we ever had any interaction with Mark Angel was in the mid-1970s. I don't know, Chabad Kahanist, if you remember, we had an organization called Save Our Israel Land, Soil. Dov Hykind and I were running an organization where we had demonstrations against Israel surrendering land, and protests against pressure on Israel, and protests, in other words, to support the state of Israel and the land of Israel. And Dov Hykind, who became a famous assemblyman from Brooklyn, he was running it together with myself, running that organization in the 1970s. And I think Chabad Kahanist, I think you might remember the organization. We sent out a letter to Orthodox shuls throughout New York City, where we wanted to have Dov go and speak as a Soil spokesman. And by the way, later on, I had major political differences with Dov Hykind. He also became political. He became a politician, and so I wound up having a lot of political differences with him. I never changed. I remained true to my principles my whole life. I'm the same way I was when I was a teenager. I mean, I never changed, and I never, you know, I could have. I mean, I could have, of course, compromised and changed and gotten a lot further in life in certain areas, but then I wouldn't have been able to do what I did for Soviet Jewry and other things, and helping Rabbi Kahana, so I'm glad I didn't change. I don't regret for one moment, even though I paid a very heavy price in life, I don't regret for one moment what I did or what I'm doing now. But Dov Hayken at that time was a Kahanist, and at that time was a spokesman for the views that we believe in the land of Israel. And so we wanted to get him speaking dates in Orthodox shuls. Shul is a Yiddish word for the synagogue. We wanted to get him speaking dates in Orthodox synagogues in New York City. So we sent out a letter to all these Orthodox synagogues asking if they would be interested in having us come and speak. And we presented some of our views. We got no answer from we got two answers the first mailing we put out. We sent out to like a couple of hundred, and we got only two answers. One from an Orthodox shul. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We got three answers. Two Orthodox shuls said, yes, we would like you to come and speak. And we, in fact, arranged a speaking date. Two Orthodox shuls said yes. And the third answer was from Mark Angel, who said, no, we will not. We would not want someone like you coming and speaking. Yeah, I mean, this is an obnoxious, arrogant, lowlife leftist. A leftist who raises lots of money, and, you know, all these evil people have so much money, they raise so much money, they do so much harm. It's unbelievable. If we only had a few million dollars, oh, what we could do for the Hilltop Youth. Oh, what we could do. But, yeah, I mean, just today, for instance, today as we're doing this show, in other words, earlier in the day, we're doing the show in the evening, but earlier in the day, there was another attack on a Hilltop community by the Israeli police. They came with bulldozers and dozens of police and dozens of Magavnikim. Magavnikim are from Mishmar HaGvul, the border patrol. And they came to violently expel Jews who had set up another Hilltop community today. This is a Hilltop community that has been expelled already 10 times in the past. So this was the 11th time that they came and destroyed this community. And these heroic Hilltop Youth Maccabees, these Jewish heroes that we're so proud to support, these Jewish heroes come back and rebuild again and again and again, and are never discouraged. So this was the 11th time that they came to destroy this community, which is in a strategic area that's very important that the Arabs not be allowed to take over this area. So this time there was a difference from prior times when they destroyed the Hilltop community. In the Hilltop community that they destroyed, like the first seven or eight times that they destroyed it, no one even heard about it. Because the Hilltop youth were so busy trying to support their families and trying to just survive on these remote Hilltop communities and feed their families, that they were working during the day, and at night they were taking care of the Hilltops and the animals and the crops that they grow. So they couldn't, they didn't have a moment to spare to even publicize when their communities were destroyed. And so the first seven or eight times, the Israeli police and the Israeli border patrol came and destroyed and violently attacked the heroic young Jews there, treating them worse than they would treat Arab terrorists. And nobody even heard about it. This time, because of JTF, because JTF is now supporting them and backing them, they now have the time. They don't have to work all day long during the day and at night. They don't have to do that anymore because JTF now is providing support for them so that they'll have time to publicize what's going on in these Hilltop communities. And so this time it was publicized. This time the destruction of the community was publicized on Aruch with big articles and prominent publicity on Aruch Sheva in Hebrew, in Rotter, Kippah, which is another big Orthodox Jewish site in the religious nationalist community. So tens of thousands of religious nationalist Jews saw it, heard about it. It was publicized. It's not being ignored. It's something that when they do these terrible things against the Jews who are trying to settle in their own land, people hear about it, and they are sensitive to this being publicized. And thanks to JTF, at least it's being publicized now. And so there is a real the situation, let's put it this way, the situation is a lot better than it would be if JTF were not in the picture. But this is what we're doing with tens of thousands of dollars a year in our budget. This is what we do. If we had millions, if we just had a few million, we could change the situation very dramatically. I hope the day will come when we will have that. But Mark Angel and people like him, they represent institutions that have millions. And all they do is evil. Mark Angel, the so-called Orthodox rabbi, talks about how we have to love and be tolerant and support homosexuals, including homosexuals who get married, quote-unquote. And he backs all of our enemies. We must be against bigotry, against Muslims and blacks, and this, you know, constantly sucking up to our enemies and backing our enemies. He's a low-life leftist coward, a disgrace to the Jewish people, a disgusting, cowardly Judenrat disgrace to the Jewish people. And unfortunately, these are the people who have had the power for too long, and it's about time their power be challenged. And at least in the hilltop communities, that's what JTF is doing. We're challenging the powers that have been hurting Jews and destroying Jews and leading to bad consequences for Jews for many years. We're doing the best we can to challenge it against all odds, but we're challenging it, and we're putting up a pretty good fight. Thank you, Chabad Kahanist. And now we go to Binyamin Yisrael, who is also a great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "One, was Harris picked for VP due to AA, unquote. Binyamin, I'm not sure what you mean by AA. I mean, AA is Alcoholics Anonymous. There's also an agency, a Turkish agency called AA. What is the name of that agency? Anadolu Agency, the Anadolu Agency, which is very supportive of Kamala Harris, an agency that works for the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel Turkish Nazi agency called Anadolu Agency. Are you referring to them? Are you referring to Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm not sure who you're referring to, but I think she was picked just because they wanted a woman and they wanted a black woman. I think that was why. She was picked. She wasn't picked by Joe Biden because Joe Biden doesn't make any decisions. He's senile. Okay, his advisors tell him what to do. He's senile. But they felt that she would be a good addition to the ticket, and she's a very dangerous person. By the way, just, I don't know if it was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, but she just recently was speaking to a group of students. I don't even remember where it was, but she was speaking to a group of students, and this Arab... the Arab student gets up and starts talking about how Israel's involved in ethnic genocide in Palestine, quote unquote, Palestine. In other words, Israel doesn't even exist. Israel's already, we're destroying Israel, and it's ethnic genocide, and was comparing Israel to the Nazis. And Kamala Harris heard this evil question from this evil pig who was asking the question, and she said, "I'm very glad you asked that question. You're courageous." She said it was very good that you're asking the question. It's courageous, and we have to. Your voice should be heard. That was her response to a question about Israel allegedly committing ethnic genocide against the Arabs, who were called Palestinians, which is a lie. There are no Palestinians. This is how viciously anti-Semitic and anti-Israel Kamala Harris is, and how dangerous she is. Her and her filthy, self-hating Jewish husband. These two pigs, if they ever take over, if Joe Biden never croaks because he's senile already and he's getting up there in years and doesn't even know where he is or what he's doing or what country he's in, if Joe Biden never croaks and we get Kamala Harris as president, God forbid, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're going to be in a lot of trouble with her and her self-hating husband. So I'm praying for Joe Biden's health, even though I hate Joe Biden, I despise him, but I'm praying for his health. Because I don't want Kamala Harris and a self-hating Jewish husband to take over. That would really be bad. Anyway, let's go on with other questions from Binyamin. Binyamin now writes, 2, Muhammad Ali's memorial service was held at the KFC Yim Center, an arena in Louisville, Kentucky. I wonder why that be. KFC, of course, is Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love my chicken. I remember when I was in prison, there was one really, really, there was this one black guy who said, "The only thing I thinks of all day is eating chicken. You can give me 100 chickens, I'll eat every one of them. I love fried chicken. That's all I ever be thinking of is fried chicken." You know something? I hope they eat a lot of fried chicken because fried chicken is unhealthy. Chicken, by the way, without the skin, if it's boiled or broiled, chicken without the skin and without the liver is healthy. The liver and the skin are very high in cholesterol, saturated fat. But if you thoroughly strip the skin off the chicken and you don't fry it, of course, no frying, and you just eat it boiled. And by the way, if you don't overcook it, you shouldn't undercook it because then it'll be bloody. But you don't want to overcook it because then it's dry. If you don't overcook it, it's so delicious, and then it's healthy. Then chicken is healthy if you eat it without the skin, and if you don't eat it fried. But the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the things that black people eat is so unhealthy. It is, I mean, artery clogging, horrible, cholesterol, full of cholesterol, saturated fat, everything bad. Binyamin writes, "Did you know that before I wrote it?" In other words, did I know that Muhammad Ali's memorial service was at the Kentucky Fried Chicken Center? No, I didn't know that. I know that a lot of black weddings are held at Kentucky Fried Chicken stores and at McDonald's and Burger King and White Castle. I'm surprised they hold it at White Castle with a name like White Castle. You really shouldn't be holding it there. That'd be a racist. That's a racist name. It should be called Black Castle. Just like the White House should be called the Black House. No, I didn't know that, Binyamin. I just learned something today. And now Binyamin writes, and I quote, "I guess they got halal fried chicken from KFC for the Muslim ceremony." Okay. And now Binyamin asks about three. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, the famous boxer, of course, convicted rapist, violently raped a woman and got 7 years in prison for it. I don't think he served the whole 7 years, but he was sentenced to 7 years in prison. A convicted rapist, an admitted drug addict, a violent, vicious convert to Islam. Of course, he'd be a Muslim. He converted to Muslim. He's another Muslim wannabe. Just a vicious, evil, disgusting, nasty piece of filth. And number four, Binyamin Wright asks about George Foreman, another black boxer. I don't know much about him except for the fact that I know he became later on in life. He's in his 50s now, I think he's in his 50s, if I'm not mistaken now. But I know that later on in life he became a Christian minister, an evangelical Christian minister, and that he was married 5 times. I, generally speaking, do not trust. There are evangelical Christians who are pro-Israel, but I generally do not trust blacks, even when they're evangelicals. Generally speaking, I don't trust them. So, because I've been around the block a few times. I mean, I'm 65 years old, so I know a little bit about black people, especially because I live with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 5 years in the prison system. So I know a little bit about black people, and I met my share of black ministers and black imams and you name it, black community leaders in the prison system. So you name it. And by the way, the black prison system, the blacks in the black prison system, they are representative of the black community. If anybody says to me, "Well, what do you expect to meet in prison? You're going to meet bad people in prison." That's true. In prison, you meet bad people. But the blacks in prison do represent the black community, because the majority of black males have prison records and criminal records during their lifetime. So they are representative. Prison is much more representative of the black community than some civic organization. Anyway, thank you, Binyamin. And now we go on to David Tu, who always asks interesting questions. David Tu writes, and I quote, "Chaim, Ya'aron Reuven has correctly stated that marijuana is incompatible with Torah observance. Should prospective converts be rejected on the basis of their indulgence of it? Unquote. I think marijuana is very, very harmful. I think it's very destructive. I think it certainly should be held against a prospective convert if he's indulging in marijuana or the use of other drugs. Drugs are for sick people. A drug should only be used if someone is sick and needs to take something because they're sick, some sort of drug because they're sick. But narcotics that are used for mind-altering purposes or for what they call recreational drugs, recreational meaning, in other words, people have nothing better to do with their lives than destroy their brain cells and destroy their sense of reality and become what we call potheads. Potheads are marijuana junkies who are psychologically addicted to marijuana and who smoke continuously. I mean, smoke all the time, are constantly getting high on pot. And I mean, I've known people whose lives were destroyed by this. And of course, there are people who use marijuana and then move up to other drugs from that. That becomes what we call a gateway drug. Marijuana is definitely incompatible with Torah observance, and I do think that I do think that there should be a serious question. I don't want to say point blank that we would rule out anybody under any circumstances, because people can change, and I don't want to give an absolute answer on it in all circumstances, but certainly it would be I would hold it very heavily against somebody if they were using marijuana. I think that it's a very negative trait, very negative characteristic if someone is using that drug. And if any people watching this program are using it, you should not use it. You should not use marijuana. Life is life. You're not improving your life by escaping and by either getting high or getting drunk or doing other. That's not improving your life. That's just making things worse in your life. Facing reality is how you improve your life. Anyway, thank you, David. And now we go to Chicago Jew, who is also a very good JTFer, who writes, and I quote, even though we had a disagreement last week about COVID mandates. But anyway, Chicago Jew writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I promise this will be my last question concerning the pandemic. What is your opinion on Dr. Fauci? I think he's a fraud, a quack, a charlatan, and has a political agenda, unquote. Okay. I agree with you. I think Dr. Fauci is a disgusting individual, a complete fraud. And look, I hate the establishment. I don't like the establishment. Fauci's an establishment guy that the establishment media loves. They tried to make him a big hero. He's a despicable, evil, egotistical piece of garbage and a liar. And absolutely terrible. And he was involved in... He knew what was going on in the Wuhan lab. He knew what was going on. And you know, they were experimenting with biological warfare. And I believe that that's how this thing got out into the public. And now millions of people have been killed by the coronavirus thanks to that Chinese lab. And the Chinese government is guilty of this... The deaths of millions of people, including my beautiful, beloved mother, my wonderful mother, Malka Bat Meir, Aleha HaShalom, Zichrona Livracha. May her memory live on, and peace be upon her. So, yes, of course, Fauci is guilty, and he's one of the people responsible for this epidemic to begin with, for this pandemic to begin with. And so I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And now Joe Gutfeld writes, and I quote, Joe Gutfeld is certainly a great JTFer. And Joe Gutfeld writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think about these mask and vaccine mandates? Should people be forced to wear masks even if they affect their breathing? Thanks, unquote. I do think that when you're indoors and when you're close to people, you should be required to wear a mask. There are stores and other places where if you don't go with a mask, they're going to ask you to leave, or they're going to ask you to put a mask on. And I do think that I don't see that anymore, by the way. Unfortunately, they're not really enforcing it anymore. But masks do work. And if they think they have problems breathing because of the mask, they're going to have much greater problems breathing if, God forbid, they get COVID, because I know I had it. And I can tell you, it is a horrible, nightmarish disease. And in countries in Asia where they wore masks, they had a much lower rate of COVID infection as a result, countries like Taiwan. So, yes, I do believe masks work, and I do believe that a business or an educational institution or a government office, they have a right to say, if you're going to come on with or public transportation, if you're going to come on to a plane or a bus or a train or go into a store, you have to consider and be considerate enough of the other people, and you should wear a mask in order to prevent infecting other people, the danger of infecting other people. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to Nekama, who is one of the greatest, one of our really, really great JTFers. Nekama writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach means happy holiday. Well, Nekama wrote this, of course, when the holiday was still in effect. Now we're after the holiday, but thank you for the wishes. And Nekama writes, one, is there a connection between the technological revolution of the last 200 years and the Messianic Age? Unquote. Oh, of course, because before the technological revolution, if the Mashiach had come 2,000 or 3,000 years ago with the technology of those days, with what we knew in those days, how could he communicate with the whole world? The Mashiach is going to communicate with the whole world. And so Mashiach means Messiah. Mashiach is going to be communicating with everybody, with all nations and all peoples. Now it is quite conceivable, it's quite possible to do so. Even 200 years ago, 300 years ago, that was an impossibility to do, except through long distance traveling and all types of things that you had to do. So there's no question that the technological revolution is connected, and it also enables us. Look, the internet can be a very, very negative, bad thing. If people use it for the wrong purposes, it can be a terrible thing. Obviously, Facebook is very evil, and Instagram and Google and YouTube are all owned by evil people. The evil people run it. The founders of all of these sites are vicious, despicable people. And very anti-Semitic, very anti-Israel. Everything they promote is evil. Everything they promote is evil. But the internet can also be used as a tool for good. And we try to use it as a tool for good despite all of the evil. We try to get our point across as much as possible, even using these terrible sites sometimes, because we're trying somehow to bring some light in the middle of all the darkness. Because if we allow ourselves to be completely shut out, then we can't respond to this overwhelming barrage of wickedness that is being pushed on people day and night and brainwashing people. But the technological advances, it could be used for good, it could be used for evil, it could be used, it depends what it's used for. And certainly, when the Mashiach comes and when we have the Geulah, the final redemption, it's going to come in very handy at that time. Nekama writes, and I quote, too, are the Samaritans living in Israel Jewish? Unquote. No, absolutely not. And even in ancient times, the Samaritans were hostile to the Jews and actually convinced Koresh to stop the building of the second temple of Beit HaMikdash HaShini. So they're not Jewish, and they actually are hostile to the Jews, and they claim to be the real Jews. You know, those who claim you Jews are fakes, we're the real Jews, they always tend to be the most anti-Semitic, the most vicious people, whether it's the Samaritans or whether it's the replacement theology of many Christian churches who claim that they're the new Israel, they're the real Israel. The Catholic Church, by the way, always had a prayer on every Sunday, how they're the new Israel, and the Jews are no longer valid. They're no longer the real Jews, and the God has decided to abandon his people now, even though it says in the Bible clearly, Brit Olam. It says clearly that we're going to have an eternal covenant with Hashem. Eternal covenant, Hashem says over and over again, promises no matter what, I will never abandon Israel and I will always have an eternal covenant with Israel. But the church ignored that, and others have ignored that and claimed they're the real Jews. So some of our most vicious enemies are people who claim to be the real Jews and claim that we're not the real Jews, even though we're the ones that came back to Israel. We're the ones fulfilling biblical prophecy. We're the ones following Jewish law. We're the ones speaking the language of the Torah, Hebrew. Despite that, you have people who make these absurd claims. And the Samaritans are among those people. And Nekamah now writes, 3, your thoughts on Nissan Black and his rapping about Hashem and Torah subjects. He seems like a Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek meaning a righteous convert. He might be a righteous convert, and I certainly hope he is. And we certainly welcome people we welcome all people who decide to convert to Judaism, certainly are welcome to do so. He comes from a very bad background, in that both of his parents, his biological parents, were both drug dealers who sold drugs from their home. His mother, I remember reading about his mother died of a drug overdose when she was in her 30s. So he comes from a terrible background, and yet he decided to embrace Judaism and convert to Judaism together with his wife, and they made Aliyah. They live now in Beit Shemesh in Israel. I have to say this. I can't stand rap. I can't stand rap. I hate hearing it. I know that there are Jews also who use rap to spread Judaism, but I just the whole type of, because it reminds me of these, you know, of these creatures who. First of all, it's not music. It's just annoying ranting, and it's so filthy and so dirty and so obscene and so filled with violence and hate and just viciousness and evil and cruelty, you know. So I can't stand that whole type of music, if you want to call it music. But anyway, you know, look. If he's succeeding in bringing Jews closer to Judaism, and if he is a sincere convert, which I have no reason to believe that he isn't, I think he is, then more power to him. Anyway, thank you, Nekama. And now we go to Am Raphael, who always has interesting questions and writes, and I quote, "If allowed to return to Israel, what locations would you prefer to live in?" Unquote. I probably would want to live either in the eastern part of Jerusalem, or the part that was liberated in the 1967 Six Day War, the part they want to give away, God forbid. I want to live in the areas that they want to give away. That's where I want to be. I want more Jews living in the areas they want to give away. I'd like to live either in the eastern section of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, our capital, or in a place like Kiryat Arba, which again, in Judea and Samaria, That's really where I would love to live. I've seen many beautiful sights in the United States, which is a beautiful country, and Hashem made a beautiful world. I've seen a lot of beautiful things in life, but nowhere that I've ever seen could ever match the beauty of Yehuda Veshomron, Judea and Samaria. The beauty, the magnificent. The magnificent scenery there is so breathtaking, and of course it's the heartland of biblical Israel, and it's the area that we must keep if we want to survive. So that's where I would want to live, either there or in Yerushalayim in Jerusalem. And now Am Raphael writes, and I quote, "Favorite places, books, and movies. My favorite place is only one: the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. That's my favorite place. That's it." And books, my favorite books are books, of course, are books involving Torah and Judaism. and books by my leader, Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, may God avenge his blood. His books are the greatest. Those are my favorite books on the Torah, on Judaism, and books, especially books by Rabbi Kahana. Movies, I think the greatest movies were the old movies that Hollywood made. Hollywood at that time was run from top to bottom by Jews, basically self-hating Jews, but they were brilliant. They were geniuses. And they made movies in the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s that captured the hearts of the whole world, even people who, out of jealousy, are anti-American. Nevertheless, they were mesmerized by the movies that came out of Hollywood in the 30s, 40s, and 50s and conquered the hearts of the world. And that's one of the ways why, one of the reasons America won the Cold War and won the battle for the heart and soul of the world when they were battling against the Soviets and against other ideologies. The movies that were made in Hollywood that in those days, no dirty language, no sex in the movie, things that I don't want to see in movies. I want to see clean movies, and I want to see movies with great acting and great drama. And that's something that we once had. Thank you, I'm Raphael. And now we go to Italian Zionist, who is a great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "I hope your holy days were joyful as much as possible." Thank you very much, Italian Zionist. And Italian Zionist now writes, "What is your opinion of Bridget Gabriel. Bridget Gabriel, of course, a Lebanese Christian. The videos that I've seen of her, I hope she doesn't proselytize. I hope she doesn't do that. But I don't know. Maybe there are things she says that I'm reluctant to praise somebody because I never know that then something's going to come up which is going to be bad. But the videos that I've seen of her, speaking about Israel versus the Arab world and the cruelty of the Arabs and the cruelty of what was going on in Lebanon and the difference between that and the decency and compassion and morality of the Jews, the videos that I've seen that she made were actually pretty good. So my opinion of her from the limited knowledge I have, and again, it's limited. There might be something somebody going to bring up that's going to change what I'm saying. But right now, my limited knowledge of her, my view of her is positive right now. And Italian Zionist writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of Howard Stern? He has bad points, but I heard him rip apart Roger Waters for his anti-Israel stance. Maybe he can be approached to assist the settlers with financial support," unquote. I doubt that he would support the Jews in Judea and Samaria. He's just a dirty, nasty person. I agree that, you know, sometimes as a Jew he does stand up against anti-Semites, but, you know, he also deals with and works with a lot of people who are hostile to Jews and doesn't mind doing that. And he's such a dirty, nasty person. I'm embarrassed when I have Jews, when there are Jews like this, you know, who just, the only things on his mind are filthy and vicious and nasty, and, you know, I think he's a negative person, a negative influence on things. Thank you very much, Italian Zionist. And now we go to Kahana Was Right, who is a fantastic JTFer. Okay, and Kahana Was Right, by the way, has over 12,000 posts. Wow, congratulations. Fantastic. And Kahana Was Right, when he does post, his posts are always very high quality. Kahana Was Right writes, and I quote, "In my opinion, more and more circumstantial evidence suggests the origin of SARS-CoV-2 was Wuhan Institute of Virology and its work with Echo Health. Why doesn't Congress use its subpoena power for investigation since China is never going to cooperate? Peter Daszak could be interrogated and many records could be obtained," unquote. I agree with you completely. I think that the coronavirus did originate in Wuhan, in that Wuhan lab, and I think a lot of people have a lot to answer for, and I think that they're covering up for it. I think they are covering up for it. And again, as I said earlier in this, earlier in response to another question, I do believe that the murder of millions of people, this is millions of people were killed by the coronavirus, and I think that China has that blood on their hands, that the Chinese Communist government is responsible for that murder, and that there should be a very, very hostile, negative attitude toward the Chinese government, towards Communist China. We should understand how cruel they are, how vicious they are, and the terrible harm that they do, and the terrible danger that they pose to the world. Thank you, Kahana was right. And now we go to Kalman Ben Menachem, another great JTFer who writes, and I quote, Chaim, is Hasidism a cult? Thank you, Kalman Ben Menachem, unquote. There certainly are, each Hasidic group is not necessarily the same. And I don't want to generalize and characterize all Hasidim as a cult, all Hasidut as a cult. There certainly are groups that are, like Satmar. They definitely are. And there are characteristics of Hasidut that would resemble cult-like behavior. There would be virtual worshiping of their rebbes, who become almost godlike figures. And the way they all dress the same way, they all follow their Rebbe, they all do anything that the Rebbe says, and there are certainly aspects that are very cult-like. But I would be reluctant to refer to all Hasidism as a cult, because I do know Hasidic Jews that are very righteous Jews, even though they continue to be part of these Hasidic movements, and so I wouldn't want to generalize, and I wouldn't want to characterize all of them as a cult, because just because there are Hasidic, there are people that I know in Hasidic movements that are good Jews. Thank you, Kalman. And now we go to Chaim Azulai Efeshesh. Chaim Azulai 06 in English, who's one of our Israeli, again, someone in Israel, who's active in Israel, who writes, and I quote, Hi Chaim, how are you? Can you tell me what do you think about Bennett's speech at the UN building? Well, first of all, Baruch Hashem, I'm well, thank you, Chaim, Mashlomcha. And I think Bennett's speech at the UN was, he spoke about Iran, how terrible Iran is. And he said making speeches and speaking about Iran is not going to stop the centrifuges in Iran from spinning. And meanwhile, what is he doing? He's making speeches. It's the same thing as Netanyahu. He's speaking about Iran, but he's not daring to take action, even though the Israeli military can destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. And they should. They can, and they should, and they must. But then he's not going to do it, just as Netanyahu didn't do it. So he's a phony. And Chaim now writes, and a second question is, do you think Moshe Gafni from Yahadut HaTorah and Yair Lapid from Yesh Atid are the same by the agendas? Unquote. I don't... of course, they claim to have opposite agendas, obviously. Moshe Gafni and Yahadut HaTorah claim to be Haredim. And Yair Lapid from Yesh Atid really appeals to the anti-religious Jews in Israel, the anti-religious secular Jews, and often preaches hatred against religious Jews. So I don't know what would be similar in their agendas. I don't see any similarity in their agendas. But if you're saying, well, then why would Yahadut HaTorah even consider joining the government as it is now? Because Yahadut HaTorah is only interested in money. That's all they care about is money for their institutions and enriching themselves. Yahadut HaTorah is a very corrupt political party, just like Shas is a corrupt political party. Yahadut HaTorah is the Ashkenazi Haredi party, and Shas is the Sephardic Haredi party, and both of them are very corrupt and have sold out everybody and everything for money over and over again. And now Chaim writes, and I quote, "Have a nice day in Simchat Torah Sameach." Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Chaim Azulai. Let me just make sure. And I want to thank everybody else again for the questions and for another program of SJTF. Again, if people want to ask questions, all you have to do is sign on, become a member of JTF, which takes a few minutes, member of our forum actually, and go to the thread in the general discussion section. We got to work together and we've got to fight together, because Israel is in trouble, a lot of trouble, a lot of danger. And we're supporting the people on the front lines who are the real heroes, that are the hope of, really hope of saving Israel. So we've got to work together, and we've got to do everything we can to make a difference at this time, to wake people up and to support the Hilltop Youth that are on the front line to prevent the creation of an Arab terrorist state in Israel's biblical heartland, which would be national suicide. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history. For JTF, for Ask JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.